In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, have you ever had that experience of walking into the middle of a conversation and you're trying to act like you know what's being talked about, but really you have no idea what's going on? You try to maybe pick up on some context clues, but you've obviously missed out on something fundamental in order to keep up. Today's passage from Luke feels sort of like that for me. Because we begin with the apostles saying to the Lord, "Let our faith increase." And we can try and push some meaning out of that, perhaps, but really, I think we've only got the second part of the conversation here. It's as if, I think, if I were to open the parish hall doors in the middle of adult forum and hear you all say to David, "Increase our faith." And then he gave some funny parable-type response. And instead of them being like, "Well, this is what's happening," to the person next to me, I think I'd say, "What did I miss? What did David first say to make you all then ask for more faith?" So what did we miss here? And Luke, what did Jesus just say to get that response from the apostles? Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense otherwise, I don't think. Well, in the verses just prior, the part of the conversation that we missed, I think, will actually be familiar to you. Because it's when Jesus challenges them to forgive over and over and over again. He essentially said, if someone sins against you, even if it's 7 times in a day, but if they're repentant and sorry and they see the wrong they've done, you must forgive them. Knowing now what Jesus has charged them with, I actually find their response sort of hilarious and relatable. Did he just ask us to repeatedly forgive the very person who keeps pushing our buttons and driving us up to the edge of insanity? Lord, help us. Increase our faith. Because there is nothing left inside of us that could possibly forgive that person one more time today. The apostles are probably thinking that Jesus' expectations are impossibly high. And they're probably acutely aware that on their own, they just can't. So they beg that Jesus give them the faith they need to believe that this thing that he's asking can be done. Now, it may not be the task of forgiveness, but I bet that most of us here have been faced with some challenges from Scripture or the sayings of Jesus or from our prayer life with God or even just in this church life that seem impossibly high to meet. Is it the idea of praying for your enemies that seems literally impossible because of the pain that they have caused you? Or maybe it's like the very idea of giving up your time and your energy and your resources in this season of Thanksgiving and stewardship because you'd really rather just preserve anything you've got left from the past 2.5 years. Or maybe, like me, it's trying to follow the practice of Sabbath, of rest, that I know Jesus so desperately wants me to cultivate. The idea of having to regularly find a day, let alone an afternoon, to slow down and release control is enough to make me cry out, "Lord, increase my faith. Jesus, help me out. How am I supposed to measure up to this lofty idea? Because what you're asking seems impossible." When the apostles responded to Jesus, he, of course, gave them some strange answer in return. Jesus said that if they had the faith the size of a tiny seed, that would be enough to make a tree uproot itself and be planted in the ocean. Now, at first, it might actually sound like he's rebuking them. Like, if you only had an ounce of faith, you'd be able to do what I asked you to do. But I'd like to suggest that what he's really saying is, friends, you have all the faith that you need. They ask for more because they're worried that they can't do what Jesus has asked them to do. But I think Jesus, in this moment, wants them to understand that he isn't asking for some mountain-sized expression of faith, because they have all the faith that they need. Faith is not actually something quantifiable, anyway. You can't chart it on a graph, or at the end of the year, understand it in some sort of net gain or net loss. Instead, faith often looks like offering up whatever energy or effort or trust that can be mustered. For the apostles, maybe it looked like believing that God was able and willing to take that seed and do what once seemed impossible. Are they actually capable of forgiving someone who has hurt them over and over? Well, yeah, maybe. But not because of something that they found deep within themselves, I don't think. But because God can take that seed of belief within them, that part of them that is willing to just even try, and is able to do something powerful and good, what would have been impossible on their own. So it might sound cliche, but it was true for them, and it's true for me, and it's true for you, that God takes what hope and trust we can muster, our tiny seed of faith, and helps it become something more powerful than we could even imagine. And this should challenge how we think of faith, because so often we want to quantify it in some unhelpful or untrue way. And this should relieve us of any shame that we've been carrying for too long, because we keep telling ourselves some lie, like, we don't have enough faith to be in this place, or to go before God, or we aren't good enough Christians. Friends, Jesus instead reminds us that we have all of the faith that we need just to get going. Because faith looks a lot like just showing up and being open to God and God's faithfulness to us. And when I think of maybe how this plays out in the lives of this church community, I just think of the mornings that some of our parents somehow find that extra 20 minutes to maybe tune into the live stream, or listen to a prayer, or take a moment with God. Even though, right, the kids have to be at 27 different places that afternoon, and the dog's currently throwing up on the carpet, and honestly, I haven't felt near to God in a while anyway. But they still show up. And God renews some tiny sense of strength within them to get through the day. Or I think about those of us reaching out for the help we need, finally, but barely making it to that support group or to that appointment, or making that phone call to a friend, even though we're pretty sure that we're the only ones to have ever dealt with an issue like this, right? And there's no way that God loves us anymore anyway. But little by little, God breaks through and God's faithfulness to us, helping us see the grace to just get to tomorrow. If I'm being honest with you, faith for me today looked like getting in this pulpit and offering up these words to you. Because it's been a week, and the weather's cloudy, and it would have been nice to stay in bed. But I trust that God will use whatever I muster to offer to you in some kind of good way today. And faith looks like all of that I just described. And faith that looks like that is faith enough most days. Because yes, Jesus asks some pretty big things of us, like forgiveness and rest and prayer and trust. But Jesus never meant for us to get there on our own, I don't think. Instead, he shows us that our single seed of faith, our one step towards God, is always returned by God's abundant faithfulness to us. And together, that is how the impossible can get done. Amen.